From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the Dole Institute of Politics, hosting the annual Tribute to Veterans Gala on Sunday, November 9th. Open to the public, reservations required. Details and registration at doleinstitute.org.
It's 82 degrees in Lawrence, 75 in Topeka. It is 6:06. Listening to All Things Considered from NPR News. From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City, many other frequencies as well, and always online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from the Lead Center, welcoming the Imagination Movers. The children's music group is seen on Disney Plus, Saturday, October 18th, 2 p.m. Tickets are available at lead.ku.edu.
Stay with us. News headlines coming up in about 12 minutes. Before we get to 7 o'clock, we are going to talk about some new research indicating that cognitive training that's quite stressful could cause biological changes in the brain that could offset the effects of aging. We will continue with our wild card series. We'll get you the shortwave news roundup of the week. It's all coming up here on KPR. Stay tuned.
Support for KPR comes from KU Theater and Dance, teaching Jayhawk Theater major since 1923 and working to secure the next 100 years through its Centennial Production Fund. More at kuendowment.org/Centennial Fund.
KPR's Live Day is coming up Friday, October 24th. That night, we will wrap things up for the day with a free concert, Destiny Ann, Mermaiden and Friends, at the Lawrence Public Library. Admission is free, but seating is limited, so we need you to RSVP at kansaspublicradio.org. Join us for a night of spooky tunes and tales, and of course, plenty of bad jokes for Halloween. Friday night, October 24th, 7 p.m. is the time. It is presented by Kansas Public Radio. It's 81 degrees in Lawrence. It is 6:20. News.
In 2013, a murder in northern India sparked violence between the region's Hindu and Muslim populations. A new book explores the fallout and the stories people tell themselves about what happened.
You have she said, he said, and then you actually try to ascertain what the facts are rather than just letting people say what they think.
We hear from the author on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock on your KPR stations for Weekend All Things Considered.
Support for KPR comes from Delta Dental of Kansas, reminding listeners that dental checkups can help identify health conditions like heart disease, diabetes, and more. Dentists can be found at deltadentalks.com/find.
Up next, we have news headlines. It is 77 degrees in Manhattan, 80 in Emporia. It is 6:30.
NPR News, Washington.
You're listening to NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. Midwestern farmers are taking a hit in the ongoing government shutdown. Many were already losing money because corn, wheat, and soybeans are selling for less than it costs farmers to grow them. Normally, the U.S. Department of Agriculture would help in a situation like this, offering short-term loans to help farmers make ends meet. It would also be publishing comprehensive reports detailing the size of the harvest and its value to help farmers market their crops profitably. The president has promised a bailout to compensate farmers for their trade war losses, but University of Missouri economist Pat Westhoff says even that can't happen now.
You know, things aren't going to go forward until the government's open again, it appears to me.
continues the uncertainty that's been around for some time, obviously.
Westhoff says getting bailout money to struggling farmers won't happen until weeks after the shutdown ends. A new study found a majority of Kansas voters oppose federal funding cuts to scientific research. The Trump administration has made massive cuts to science funding this year, which most Republicans in Congress have supported. The survey, which was undertaken by Knowledge for a Competitive America, which advocates for federal science projects, shows almost 80% of Kansas voters support government funding for climate and weather research, and 52% of voters surveyed would view lawmakers who supported the federal cuts less favorably. Paumitha Weerasinghe from the group says this data could help prioritize the research for those living in these areas.
So that we're not having this conversation on the back of a disaster or a harm that has befallen a community, but instead we're celebrating the fact that harm was prevented.
Weerasinghe says the data will help inform policymakers on the impact federal funding has on their daily lives. The forecast for northeast and east central Kansas, mostly cloudy tonight with a 50% chance of showers and storms. Lows tonight in the upper 50s. There's a slight chance of rain tomorrow afternoon, otherwise partly sunny with a high around 80. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy through the evening with a low in the mid-40s. You're listening to KPR and it is 6:35.
Support for any size business. With an automated virtual receptionist, video meetings, and other features to connect to customers and coworkers anywhere at uma.com/NPR.
You are listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
Hey, it's A. Martinez. We've all been there. You get a phone call or knock on your door too early in the morning before you're fully awake. Who and why, you wonder, at this hour? For something you want to hear first thing, tune into Morning Edition. We'll get you up to date on the day's biggest headlines and bring you unexpected stories that make you smile. Listen whenever you're ready, weekday mornings from NPR News.
Tune in Monday morning at 5 o'clock, anytime between 5 and 9 a.m. Get caught up on all the latest national, international, and regional news with Morning Edition on your KPR stations.
Support for KPR comes from the Lead Center, welcoming singer-songwriter and master folk storyteller Ellis Paul, Sunday, October 19th, 7:30 p.m. at the Pavilion. Tickets are available at lead.ku.edu.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 89.7 FM in Emporia. Lots of other frequencies, too, listed for you online at kansaspublicradio.org, where we're always streaming as well. We still have about 10 minutes of All Things Considered still to come. If you're joining us on KPR One stations at 7:01, we have news headlines. Then Stardate, then 2 hours of Film Music Friday, tonight focusing on the music of film noir. If you're joining us on KPR 2, up next we have Snap Judgment.
Support for KPR comes from Green Lady Lounge, offering live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Green Lady Lounge is located at 1809 Grand Boulevard, Kansas City. Information at greenladylounge.com.
Mostly cloudy skies tonight with a 50% chance of showers and storms. We're expecting a low in the upper 50s. It is 80 degrees in Lawrence at 10 minutes before 7.
From NPR, from NPR News every weekday.
From 5 to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday on your KPR stations, you will hear Morning Edition, a great way to start off your day with the latest national, international, and regional news.
Support for KPR comes from Audio Reader, hosting Soundwaves, an evening celebrating all things audio, Thursday, November 6th, featuring speakers from the industry, curated audio equipment, food and drink. More information at reader.ku.edu/audio sale.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight's on Assistance for Immigrants and Refugees, or AIR, a volunteer group sponsoring refugee resettlement in Lawrence and assisting with housing, jobs, social services, and education. Information at AIRefugeesLawrence.org.
Up next, we have news headlines, then 2 hours of film music. Film Music Friday. Daryl Brogdon is your host. Tonight, focusing on the music of film noir, like what we're hearing in the background. One of the many haunting melodies from the film Laura, great Otto Preminger film. That is coming right up. Stay tuned here on KPR. We have a 50% chance of showers and storms tonight, and we're expecting a low in the upper 50s. It's 7:01.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. President Trump says Ukraine and Russia should stop where they are and negotiate an end to their war. He described his meeting with Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky as cordial and interesting today. NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports.
The Ukrainian leader came to Washington with hopes of getting long-range Tomahawk missiles as well as more help with air defenses to stop daily Russian missile and drone strikes. He came away saying he was, quote, realistic about the prospects of getting Tomahawks, but he says the meeting was productive and he agrees with Trump's message on Truth Social.
The president is right that we have to stop where we are. This is important, to stop where we are and then to speak.
But he says this is a message for Putin, who started the war. Zelensky says he thinks Trump can pressure Putin to stop the aggression. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, the State Department.
The Trump administration has fired the entire team that supports sexual and reproductive health clinics. The program is called Title 10, and as NPR's Selena Simmons Duffin reports, the clinics that rely on it are reeling.
Title 10 is a long-standing program. It was signed into law by President Nixon. It helps pay for birth control, cancer screenings, and testing for sexually transmitted infections at nearly 4,000 clinics all over the country. Jesse Hitchens runs a clinic in Nebraska that receives Title X funds. She's really concerned by the fact that the whole Title X federal staff was just fired.
Not knowing where we stand right now is really hard to plan for the future.
She says Title X has gotten results, like bringing down high rates of syphilis and gonorrhea in Nebraska. If the whole Title X program goes away, she says,
we are likely to see those diseases spike in our rural communities.
Selena Simmons Duffin, NPR News.
The brother of the King of England is giving up his royal titles and honors. Prince Andrew has made embarrassing royal headlines stemming from his friendship with the late sex offender Jeffrey Epstein, NPR's Lauren Freyer reports.
The Epstein scandal prompted Prince Andrew to step down from royal duties more than 5 years ago. But British media have now published excerpts of a posthumous memoir by Epstein's best-known accuser, who said she had sex with the prince when she was 17. Andrew denies that, but in a statement from Buckingham Palace, he says the continued accusations distract from the work of His Majesty King Charles. So after discussion with the king and with their wider family, Andrew says he will no longer use the title Duke of York. He remains a prince, is expected to keep living near Windsor Castle, and his daughters will still be princesses. But his ex-wife Sarah Ferguson will lose her Duchess of York title. Lauren Freyer, NPR News, London.
Gold prices topped $4,300 for the first time this week. Gold sales can rise when anxious investors seek a safe haven for their money. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the Wallace Foundation, an independent, nonpartisan research foundation collaborating with grantees and partners in the arts, school leadership, and youth development. More at wallacefoundation.org. From the University of Kansas, this is your place to find NPR News, Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate October 17th. California is the land of the stars. It's also in the stars as the California Nebula, a cloud of gas and dust that looks like the outline of the state. It's more than 1,000 light years away in Perseus. The nebula belongs to a giant star-forming complex, the Perseus OB2 Association. The region has given birth to many Class O and B stars, the biggest and brightest of all stars. The California Nebula probably is energized by one of those stars known as Chi Persei. The star is more than 30 times the mass of the Sun and tens of thousands of degrees hotter. At that temperature, it produces huge amounts of ultraviolet energy. When that radiation zaps hydrogen atoms, it splits them apart. When they link back up, the atoms produce red light, the main color of the nebula. Oxygen and other elements produce their own colors, but they're not nearly as common as hydrogen. The California Nebula probably is about 100 light years long. It's likely to split into smaller clumps that will collapse to form even more stars. But radiation and winds from Chi Persei and other big stars will blow away much of the nebula's material, limiting the number of new stars for this cosmic California. Perseus climbs into good view in the northeast in early evening. Chi Persei is visible to the naked eye near the bottom of the constellation. But you need a telescope to see the faint outline of the California Nebula. Our web address is stardate.org. For the University of Texas at Austin McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
That's a Passacaglia for orchestra by Franz Waxman, drawn from his score for the movie Sorry, Wrong Number on KPR's Film Music Friday. This was a film based on a radio play written by Lucille Fletcher about an invalid who overhears two men plotting a murder, which she eventually discovers is her own. The movie was made in 1948 with Barbara Stanwyck and Burt Lancaster. Welcome to Film Music Friday, where we celebrate the music of the movies on KPR. I'm Darryl Brogdon, and tonight it's another of our occasional trips into the music of film noir, those highly stylized crime dramas characterized by cynical heroes, dramatic lighting, flashbacks, and complex storylines. In this hour, we'll hear Frederick Hollander's music for The Verdict, a thriller starring Sidney Greenstreet and Peter Lorre. But next is a film called The Unfaithful, which was an adaptation of Somerset Maugham's The Letter, made in 1947. Anne Sheridan plays a woman who stabs to death an intruder in her home. She claims not to know the man, but is there more to the story? Maugham's original story took place on a rubber plantation in Malaya, but for this version it was transplanted to Southern California. For the 1940 film version with Betty Davis, composer Max Steiner created a very exotic score. But for the remake, he delivered a much more urban musical setting. Here's Max Steiner's suite from The Unfaithful, 1947, on KPR.
Thank you.
Jack Steiner score for The Unfaithful, 1947, on KPR's Film Music Friday. The film's based on The Letter, a famous play and later a movie written by Somerset Maugham. However, for this adaptation, the screenwriters made many changes to the story, moving it from a rubber plantation in Malaya to Southern California. Still to come, we'll hear music by David Raxon for the classic film noir Laura from 1944. You know, it won't be long before we're thinking about the holiday season, and with it comes KPR's Big Band Christmas. Tickets for the show are now on sale. Big Band Christmas is Saturday night, December 13th at Liberty Hall in Lawrence. What better way to celebrate the season than with the KC Jazz Orchestra and special guests, and a night of KC Jazz and holiday songs. Get your tickets while they last at Liberty Hall and at Ticketmaster.com. Find out more at KansasPublicRadio.org. Well, now here's something from a movie called The Verdict, made at Warner Brothers in 1946. A disgraced Scotland Yard inspector invents a perfect crime in order to embarrass his former superiors at the Yard. Music for the film is by Frederick Hollander, a German composer who wrote numerous songs for Marlene Dietrich and had written for the theater and cabaret. These had mostly been lighter fare, so Hollander jumped at the chance to do something darker. Here's the music for The Verdict on KPR and Film Music Friday.
Frederick Hollander's score for The Verdict, 1946, starring Sidney Greenstreet and Peter Lorre, the last of nine films co-starring the two, and here on Kansas Public Radio's Film Music Friday. Hollander was classically trained, but he spent most of his career writing music for the theater and later for movies. This is Film Music Friday, where tonight we are hearing more of the music of film noir. Coming up after the news, composer David Shire has a go at Private Eye Philip Marlowe in Farewell, My Lovely. Hey, once again this year, KPR's Live Day broadcast presents our own Destiny Ann Mermegan in a free concert at the Lawrence Public Library. It's Friday night, October 24th. Admission's free, but seating is limited, so please RSVP now at kansaspublicradio.org. Hope you can join us for a night of spooky tunes, tales, and even some bad jokes for Halloween. That's Friday night, October 24th at 7 p.m., presented by Kansas Public Radio. You can get all the scoop at kansaspublicradio.org.
From the inner workings of the government to the creatives making waves in the arts, NPR lets you hear directly from people making headlines.
Representative Ocasio-Cortez, thanks so much for coming by.
Texas Republican Pete Sessions is co-chair, and he's on the line now.
Bill Gates, thank you so much for coming in.
Ariana Grande, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you.
Keep listening for conversations and stories that go deeper than sound bites. This is NPR.
From the University of Kansas, it's your place to find Film Music Friday and NPR News, Kansas Public Radio, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City, 91.3, and KANQ Chanute, at 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or just tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. NPR News is just ahead at 8:01. Then it's another hour of Film Music Friday right here on Kansas Public Radio. This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Assistant Refugees, or AIR, a volunteer group sponsoring refugee resettlement in Lawrence and assisting with housing, jobs, social services, and education. Information at AIRefugeesLawrence.org. Say, if you enjoy Film Music Friday, there are lots of ways to listen. You can, of course, tune in for the Friday night broadcast, as you're doing right now, or listen on demand. Go to KansasPublicRadio.org and click on Shows to find Film Music Friday. With the free KPR app, you can also stream Film Music Friday right to your smartphone and then throw it to your speakers if you're really technologically savvy. We're in the on-demand offerings at the KPR app, which is available free for both Android and Apple platforms. And if you have the KPR skill enabled on your Amazon smart speakers, anytime you say play KPR, you have the option to do a lot of things. You can stream KPR 1 or KPR 2. You can also play shows on demand, including Film Music Friday. To find out about all the ways to hear KPR and Film Music Friday, just go to our website. It's kansaspublicradio.org. NPR News is next at 8:01, and after the news, music from Farewell, My Lovely by David Shire. Also, Alex North's score for Journey into Fear, one of the great classics of film noir, Double Indemnity. It's ahead in the next hour. Keep it right here.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. President Trump is giving domestic automakers some relief from his tariffs by extending a rebate on auto parts until 2030. Tariffs on those parts had threatened to raise costs for automakers. The exemption was supposed to be a short-term bridge to give automakers time to move production lines back to the U.S. Trump also signed an order imposing 25% tariffs on medium and heavy-duty trucks. President Trump is commuting the sentences of disgraced New York Republican Congressman George Santos. As NPR's Barbara Sprunt reports, Santos had been sentenced to more than 7 years in prison this past April.
Trump announced the commutation of the former congressman via his social media platform. He wrote that George Santos will be released from prison, quote, immediately. Santos pleaded guilty to a raft of federal charges, including wire fraud and identity theft, for, among other things, stealing people's identities to make donations to his campaign. He reported to prison in July. In his post, Trump praised Santos for always voting Republican. Barbara Sprunt, NPR News, Washington.
A bipartisan group of senators will force a vote to limit President Trump's powers to enter into war with Venezuela. NPR's Claudia Grisales reports this comes amid fears Trump will unilaterally take the U.S. into a new military conflict with no end in sight.
Virginia Democrat Tim Kaine is leading the bipartisan group to force the vote in the Senate following a 10-day waiting period. Kaine says he's worried Congress is running out of time to stop Trump's escalating campaign against Venezuela.
The pace of the announcements about the authorization of covert activities and the military planning makes me think there's some chance this could be imminent.
Kentucky Republican Rand Paul and California Democrat Adam Schiff have also signed on to force the vote. The move follows Trump-ordered military strikes in the Caribbean, new covert operations, and plans to begin military operations inside Venezuela. Claudia Grisales, NPR News.
GOP leaders in New York are disbanding the state's Young Republicans chapter. As Jimmy Vielkind from member station WNYC reports, it's the latest fallout from a leaked group chat in which Young Republicans sent racist and anti-Semitic messages.
NYGOP Chair Ed Koch says the vote to suspend the Young Republicans was unanimous. He says the vile language in the chat, quote, has no place in our party or its subsidiary organizations. Politico reported this week that former New York State Young Republicans chair Peter Junta led a group chat that included racist comments and jokes referencing Adolf Hitler and the Holocaust. Junta has apologized and lost his job after the messages were made public. The reaction by New York Republicans is more severe than from some figures in Washington. Vice President J.D. Vance downplayed the racist and misogynistic messages as, quote, edgy jokes. For NPR News, I'm Jimmy Vielkind in New York.
And this is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the estate of Joan B. Kroc, whose bequest serves as an enduring investment in the future of public radio and seeks to help NPR be the model for high-quality journalism in the 21st century. From the University of Kansas, this is your place to find NPR News and Film Music Friday, Kansas Public Radio.
Thank you.
That's David Shire's melancholy theme music for Farewell, My Lovely, 1975, with Robert Mitchum as Private Eye Philip Marlowe. You're on KPR's Film Music Friday. You know, this is a terrific film, one of the best ever made, about Raymond Chandler's detective character, Philip Marlowe, and the score by David Shire is perfect for this film. On tonight's Film Music Friday, we're taking another look at the music of film noir, those dark, cynical, downbeat crime thrillers that began in the early 1940s and continue today. I'm Daryl Brogdon. Thanks for joining us. Still to come, a score by Alex North for an ill-advised remake of Eric Ambler's Journey into Fear, plus music from one of the great film noirs, Double Indemnity. Now here's music from a 1956 film called Please Murder Me. That's a great film noir title. Raymond Burr is an attorney who gets his client, played by Angela Lansbury, acquitted from a murder charge, only to find out she really is the murderer. This is music by Albert Glasser on Kansas Public Radio. from Please Murder Me, 1956. That's music by Albert Glasser on KPR and Film Music Friday. Most of Glasser's work in films was on low-budget productions, and while Please Murder Me isn't exactly a big-budget affair, it is one excellent film noir. Glasser's score is highlighted by his use of the theremin, which was often relegated to science fiction films. Coming up, we'll hear from Miklos Rocha, a composer who did a number of film noir thrillers during his career. Hey, better not wait to get your tickets for KPR's Big Band Christmas. It's Saturday night, December 13th at Liberty Hall in Lawrence, and the word is that ticket sales have been pretty brisk. Last year's concert sold out 2 weeks early, so run. Don't walk to Ticketmaster.com or to the Liberty Hall box office and get your tickets locked in for Big Band Christmas with the Kansas City Jazz Orchestra. Get all the details at KansasPublicRadio.org. From the University of Kansas, it's your place to find Film Music Friday and NPR News. Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence, 99.5 Manhattan, and online at KansasPublicRadio.org. That's by Alex North, music for Journey into Fear, 1975, here on KPR. This was a remake of the 1943 film based on the novel by Eric Ambler. The original starred Joseph Cotten and Orson Welles in a tale about a British engineer dodging Nazi assassins in Turkey. The remake, sadly, is not up to the original at all, but at least it's got a memorable score by Oscar winner Alex North. It's all film noir on tonight's edition of Film Music Friday. I'm Darryl Brogdon. So glad you could join us. Before this hour's up, we're going to hear from maybe the greatest of all film noir thrillers, Double Indemnity. That plus news from NPR's coming your way later this hour. Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from Theater Lawrence, presenting Rocky Horror Picture Show, showing October 23rd through October 25th. Details at theaterlawrence.com. Now here's something by a composer whose abilities were particularly well matched to film noir. Miklos Rocha wrote scores for some memorable thrillers like Brute Force, The Killers, and Double Indemnity. Here's a bit of his music for The Strange Love of Martha Ivers, 1946, on Kansas Public Radio. Thank you. On KPR, that's Miklos Rocha's music for The Strange Love of Martha Ivers, 1946. Starring Barbara Stanwyck, Van Heflin, and in his film debut, Kirk Douglas, in a tale of a long-ago murder. Van Heflin is an itinerant gambler who returns to his boyhood home and is reunited with his childhood friend Martha and her husband, who believes he knows the truth about the death of Martha's rich aunt years before. Miklos Rocha, I guess, could do just about anything. He wrote music for fantasy films like The Thief of Baghdad, historical epics like Ben-Hur, even the occasional Western, but his work in film noir is particularly rich. In 1944, Rocha provided the score for Double Indemnity, directed by Billy Wilder, a film that very well may be the quintessential film noir. Fred McMurray is Walter Neff, an insurance salesman who gets mixed up in a murder plot, masterminded by Phyllis Dietrichson, played by Barbara Stanwyck. The head of music at Paramount is said to have criticized the Rocha score for this film, and it's said he even asked Rocha why he hadn't written more attractive music. Rocha's response was classic. He said, "Billy Wilder's film is about ugly people doing vicious things to each other." And he stood by his score, which is one of the best ever created for a film. Here's some of the music for Double Indemnity on KPR's Film Music Friday.
Thank you.
from Double Indemnity, 1944. That's music by Miklos Rocha on KPR. His score was nominated for an Oscar the following year. This is Film Music Friday. I'm Daryl Brogdon. Hope you enjoyed this excursion into the sordid world of film noir, and that you'll join us here next week for another evening of great movie music. In the meantime, you can listen to Film Music Friday on demand at kansaspublicradio.org. When you get there, just click on Shows. If you use the KPR app, you'll find Film Music Friday among the on-demand offerings, which are available to stream right to your smartphone. And with the KPR skill enabled on your Amazon smart speakers, you can stream KPR 1 or KPR 2 or individual shows like this one. To find out about all the ways you can listen to Film Music Friday, just visit kansaspublicradio.org. NPR News is just ahead at 9:01. It's followed by Jazz in the Night. All right here for you on Kansas Public Radio stations.
Hey, it's A. Martinez. Checking the news these days might feel like a lot, but staying informed should be approachable.
So what's the situation there like now?
It should give you perspective.
What to you is the most significant thing that Pope Francis did?
At least sometimes it should make you smile.
Apparently there are also therapy llamas. Of course, NPR is all over the story.
This is NPR.
From the University of Kansas, this is your place to find NPR News and Film Music Friday, Kansas Public Radio. We're KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City, 91.3. And KANQ Chanute at 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. NPR News is just ahead at 9:01. Hope you'll stick around for that. Following the news, it's Jazz in the Night. All right here for you on Kansas Public Radio. Support for news on KPR comes from KU Theater and Dance, teaching Jayhawk Theater major since 1923 and working to secure the next 100 years through its Centennial Production Fund. More at kuendowment.org/Centennial Fund. And KJHK celebrating their 50th birthday with a local music festival in Lawrence. Lawrence bands from across the decades will perform at 7 venues today and tomorrow. Tickets at granada.com.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. President Trump appears to be walking back plans to sell long-range Tomahawk missiles to Ukraine that would allow it to strike deep into Russia. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says the powerful weapon would force Russia's Vladimir Putin to discuss ending his invasion. Zelensky says it's time for a ceasefire and negotiations.
I think we have to stop where we are, and he's right. President Israel, we have to stop where we are. This is important, to stop where we are and then to speak.
Trump says the ceasefire deal in the Middle East gives the Russia-Ukraine talks momentum and gave the U.S., quote, a lot of credibility. Trump says he'll meet with Putin in Hungary in the coming weeks to discuss ending the war. President Trump has added new tariffs on large trucks and at the same time eased some tariffs on imported auto parts. As NPR's Camilla Domonoski reports, the extra wiggle room on tariffs is specifically for parts bound for U.S. factories.
President Trump said weeks ago he'd put new tariffs on medium and heavy-duty trucks, think delivery vans, 18-wheelers, buses. Those will kick in November 1st. This action also extends a program allowing automakers to offset some tariffs on parts. Car makers have been very vocal with the White House about how tariffs are hitting cars made in U.S. plants. That's because even the most made-in-America vehicle relies on some imported parts, and those have tariffs. This extension reduces how much those parts tariffs hurt companies. Automaker stocks went up after news outlets reported that this was coming. Camila Domonoski, NPR News.
President Trump says he commuted the sentence of former Congressman George Santos. He's serving more than 7 years in federal prison after pleading guilty to fraud and identity theft. The New York Republican was sentenced in April after admitting to deceiving donors and stealing the identities of 11 people, including his own family members, to make donations to his campaign. Millions of people are expected to gather across 50 states tomorrow to protest against the Trump administration's policies. NPR's Alana Wise reports on the No Kings demonstrations.
Organizers are planning for a wave of protests spanning from coast to coast. This comes as the government enters into its third week of shutdown. And viral video has shown masked ICE agents detaining people with little to no explanation. Saturday's planned demonstrations follow major No Kings protests this summer. Then, organizers claim they saw about 5 million people take to the streets. This weekend's protests could produce an even higher turnout. White House spokeswoman Abigail Jackson responded to the prospect of mass demonstration, stating simply, who cares? Alana Wise, NPR News.
The S&P 500, Dow Jones Industrial Average, and NASDAQ Composite all rose 0.5% today. This is NPR News. More than 2,000 people displaced by storms in Alaska won't be able to return to remote villages for at least 18 months, according to Governor Mike Dunleavy. In one of the hardest-hit villages, Kipnuk, an initial assessment showed that 121 homes, or 90% of the total, have been destroyed. The governor says remnants of a typhoon struck the area with the ferocity of a Category 2 hurricane. Health officials in Southern California have identified three cases of a strain of Mpox tied to more severe illness. As NPR's Will Stone reports, these are the first cases confirmed in the U.S. in people with no recent travel history.
Earlier this week, the city of Long Beach reported the first case. Then, two more turned up in Los Angeles County, which has a separate health department. All three people were hospitalized and are now recovering. It's not clear how they caught this type of Mpox, known as Clade 1, which is different from the strain that surged in the U.S. in 2022. This version of the virus has fueled outbreaks in parts of Africa, in particular the Democratic Republic of the Congo, DRC, and other nearby countries. Public health officials say they are investigating the cases, and at this point, there's no clear link between them. Mpox tends to cause rashes or unusual sores, fever, and other flu-like symptoms. Will Stone, NPR News.
Japan's former Prime Minister Tomiichi Murayama, who was known for his 1995 apology to Asian victims of Japan's imperial aggression, died today. He was 101. Murayama died at a hospital in his hometown Oita in southwestern Japan. I'm Ryland Barton. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include The Economist. In a world of rapid change, The Economist seeks to cut through the noise to offer insight into what matters now and what's coming next. Daily global reporting, podcasts, videos, and more at economist.com.
That is Ronnie Cuber, best known for his baritone sax work, but playing all the saxophone parts on his album, The Scene is Clean. And we just heard the title track to open tonight's Jazz in the Night on KPR and Tad Dameron compositions. The wonderful percussion on there from Manolo Bedrina and Milton Cardonia. Victor Jones played drums, Tom Barney bass, George Wadenius on guitar, and Jeff Keiser, the pianist, Ronnie Cuber on KPR's Jazz in the Night. I'm Bob McWilliams. In a little more than 10 minutes, guitarist Jimmy Bruno in a band which featured the late organist Joey DeFrancesco. We've got the trombone big band album, the new one from Nick Finzer, composer, arranger, trombonist in this next set. But we're going to start off with a wonderful piano trio in 1990, pianist Stanley Cowell, joined by Cecil McBee and Ronnie Burrish, bass and drums, and a pretty well-known composition by Stanley. I'm sure it's his best-known tune, Equipoise on KPR.